so happy you're here, Baldy. It's fun. It's the third one, by the way.
It's the third.
Yeah, the third one, yes.
Lucky number three.
You like three?
I like things in threes, for sure.
You know, start I mean? Well with no SB, with no BS with SB. Did you that in your life? A threesome?
A threesome?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. No.
We start strong.
Never. But I've been turning down opportunities like every 2 seconds, you know.
Really?
No.
Every Tuesday you turn off.
We're starting with a lot of BS here. BS with SB.
Because you work in a restaurant.
I do. Yeah.
It's hot here. We just arrived.
It's raining out too.
It's raining. It's like, is it dry or it's the other one?
Wet.
Wet.
There we go.
It's wet.
We need flashcards. Like,
I know.
Dry?
It's
wet.
The problem is when I arrive here, you know, I have to set up. I have to remember the camera, the white screen, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. The question, mm-hmm. you know, and the t-shirt and the drink. You look, the setup, you have budget. Do you like sports?
A little bit, yeah. Follow hockey, but I'm not going to tell you which team I follow.
Why?
Because then people are going to turn this off right
now. Oh, so it's Boston?
No, it's not.
It's Maple Leaf? It's Maple Leaf. No. So welcome to No BS with SB. Ben Cardilli.
Yes.
Or
Kardashian. Kardashian. I usually tell people it's like, think I'm gonna get you a great car dealie on this Toyota.
So this is the story of your life.
This is the
everybody
story of
do
life.
This joke yeah. all your life.
No,
but but somebody did that before. It's you say that all the time.
I needed to find a way to explain to people.
Listen,
why
me,
why
my
it sounds
like me, it's Sebastian Bourgault.
Yeah,
and trust me, in French, they don't understand.
No.
No, I have to repeat and repeat, and when I'm pissed off because it's the third time I repeat.
You mean in French, like
I said
French.
Wong, it's Wong Li Hong, my name, you know. like Sebastian Bourgault, it's French Canadian. You tu peux pas avoir plus que French Canadian.
So how do you break it down for people like Webster's style, you know? Like, you know, like a boar, like a pig, you know? Boar, go. Go.
Like right? A pig.
Like a
go. Pig.
Look
exactly.
At the go.
They call me Boudreau.
Yeah, that's a popular one.
I know.
Boudreau is like universally, people are like, that's a French name. Yeah.
So anyway, it's the story of my life. But I never got intimidated by my name, like, say a stupid name like you,
mm-hmm.
like the car, the, or,
car dealership.
Yeah, car dealership. Why? You are in the world of comedy. Why you decide to do comedy in this crazy world? You know what I mean? Because first, how long you are in comedy?
It's been about, I guess it's coming up on a year pretty soon.
So you're a rookie.
I'm a rookie. I am.
And you
off
start
the bench. I was a bench warmer before. You know.
Yeah. But you start strong because you host the worst place ever in Montreal.
Well, let's throw yourself into the shit. You
exactly.
Know?
But this is the way you're gonna succeed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because everybody, you start rookie and you host.
Yeah.
You don't just play.
Well, hosting is the only way to, like, you know, really hone in that skill of being able to come up with things on the spot.
Exactly.
You know, feed the moment. You know, when you have 5 minutes. And it's a show, and you want to be competitive with other people on the show. I mean, you can do that a little, but you really want to get to your stuff that you wrote. You know, you really want to
tell
your stories. You know, so it's not really like you're going to go up and use your 5 minutes to talk to people in the crowd. It's not really beneficial. So when you're doing hosting, you know, that's all you have to do. You know, and it's a great place to try new bits and see which one works and see which one don't.
No, because you're right. The goal when you start comedy is to have a killer five, but the goal before to have a career five is to be able to be good on stage.
Yeah.
With the mic, with the sound, with the éclair, you know. Mm-hmm. And you,
be in the moment,
you decide to do all of that at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you host, you have to figure out everything, you know.
Yeah.
And the fun part with hosting is you come back all the time.
Yeah.
So you don't just play like one time a night. No, and no. If you bomb, you don't care. You're gonna come back.
Yeah.
You know, and you make friends, and people see you, mm-hmm. and they book you in the other open mics. It's like that. You make a name.
It's a great way to just like dive into a community. You know.
Yes.
To be like, okay, well, you know, you got to contribute something. So you know, I thought, you know, well, host some shows. You know, host some open mics, and I just love the vibe of an open mic. And you know, it helps that I'm a musician too.
Yeah.
You know, so I can. You know, hosting a rounded open mic like that, have different kinds of people come up, and having musicians at the open mic is great because it brings an audience for the comedian.
Yeah, but it's not the same adrenaline musician than comedian.
Yeah.
Is it?
What do you mean?
It's less stress because when you play music, if they don't listen, you don't need approbation about a joke.
No,
you know what I mean?
That's it. And you know, like,
and you're not shy. I thought you were more like fifth year in the business. Mm-hmm. So 1 year, you go on stage. Maybe you're stressed, but inside.
Inside, yeah.
Because in your
my
face, we can.
My organs are eating themselves.
Yeah. Oh, this is funny. Yeah, you're right. You should eat, buddy. because trust me, I will. If you ask me to host to replace you a night, I will shit in my pants.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My ego will said, oh no, it's already tough to do 5 minutes there. You will not host, you know.
But so I think hosting there is what warms you up to that room, and like it really. And you eventually get the crowd to start digging into people. Like that's the kind of room where you need to like talk to people about their own stuff.
Oh yeah,
you know. So,
but explain the room. Can you explain the room?
So I'm hosting an open mic at McKibben's Irish Pub.
Yes.
And it's a bar.
It's
a bar. So people go there to drink and to have fun. And Monday nights, so it's less less occupied. You know, there's less people. But we do the open mic right after a quiz. So usually there's a lot of.
But tell the time.
Yeah, so it's a late night thing. It starts at 10:30, and sometimes it goes all the way till close. Like we have a lot of people.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Late I didn't evening. Know. I thought it was 30 minutes, 1 hour max.
No. I book the first part with comedians that want to go up early. You know, generally it's a late night, so anybody who wants to go up early, I'll book them and put them on an event.
Yeah.
But then. For the rest of it, it's just you can sign up, you can go up, and there's usually it starts with like heavy with comedy. You know, a lot of the comedians want to go up when there's guaranteed people in the room. It doesn't mean there's guaranteed people, but we do it after a quiz night that they do. So sometimes there's a bunch of like.
So it's like the stage.
Intelligent
the stage,
people in the room that maybe don't want to hear.
This is the stage.
Yeah.
You have three tables of four, okay, and this is the bar. And there is the place where people go inside. Yeah. So it's maximum 12.
Yeah.
But remember last week when you say my name,
mm-hmm.
and I went on stage, all the 12 get out.
Yeah.
So
well,
they were there for the
quiz because it's kind of a guerrilla thing, right? Like we're commandeering the room, right? People are sitting down trying to have a pint, and then we have a loud sound system, and we get out there, and we're just like. All right, so this is a show.
And they
start talking to people.
Exactly.
And start getting into it. So,
when you said, are you ready for the show?
And they were like, you know.
But it was a great show, really, okay? Because normally people talk louder.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And normally the music is there too. But last time you said, can you close the music?
Oh, we never. We always turn off the music.
But maybe.
I turn off the TVs, turn
off
the music.
Yeah, exactly. And last time it was a great show. People listen, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the back because at the front nobody was there.
Yeah.
But this is the goal, eh?
Last night was really fun.
Oh, yeah, I missed last night.
It was the Saint Jean Baptiste, right?
Okay.
So there was no quiz. So it was actually, when we got to the bar, it was like empty.
Empty?
Right? But all the comedians, so we had a bunch of comedians, and they all kind of sat around.
Yes.
Actually, in the front, you know, like we were talking about last time, like they sat around in the front. We kind of made it a little bit of a show, and then as the night progressed, you know, we brought a couple people that were in the room into the show,
okay.
Right, just talking to them and making them part of it. And then we started putting on music. I think the music really helps. It really puts people at ease, and then they kind of like they rejoin the show. And then by the end of the night, it was, you know, it's always. it always goes till close, because by the end of the night the musicians are there and like they're happy to have comedy. We had a comic from Detroit come in last minute, like late at night, who came up and went up, and he had a great time, because by that point there was like 12 people watching. Yeah. So it was great.
And the guy doesn't know he's comedian, because he doesn't know it. He's from Detroit.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know he's a comedian. Maybe he thought it was just a crowd.
Yeah, well, no, but it was by the end, it was a crowd. It was more the musicians that were watching, and they had been around. So it's kind of like a give and take, but there's like, it's a long open mic. It starts at 10:30, goes all the way to 1:30, but there's sweet spots.
I didn't know.
You know, there's sweet spots in the night. Like sometimes after 1 o'clock, it becomes a great show.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it starts right off the bat that it's a decent, like there's been times where, you know, we had some comedy audiences actually show up. They come from the world's smallest open mic, or from here, or from there, and it's like fun for the first bit, and then it kind of tapers off. And then sometimes it like kind of filters into a comedy show later on at night, or just like a great variety show. You know, last night we had a guy who played like some kind of snake charmer, kind of like weird
elevator song.
I was saying like this is the most open this open mic has
ever been. You know, it's like Grand Prix.
Yeah,
because Grand Prix too have music.
Yeah, but I feel like the difference is, and Grand Prix also has sweet spots, I notice. You know, you go and sometimes it's like the crowd's not into it, and then they get into it for maybe 4 or 5 comedians. You know, like we had one time that it was an amazing comedy show because a bunch of kids from the States came in and someone played a ukulele song and it got them all to the front, and then suddenly they were just super into it and they had comedians go up and everyone was just crushing.
Wow.
It was just amazing.
You
get lucky, you know, it's a lottery to get showing up to any.
But the ultimate goal is to bomb.
Yeah, build a thick skin.
You know what I mean? And because people will say, what? It's bizarre you say that. Yes, because doesn't mean we want a bomb.
No.
But it's to understand to respect the art of bombing.
To be able to stay in character, stay in your joke, while you can tell that nobody's enjoying it.
Because if you think the open mic Mickey Benz is the worst, good luck when you're gonna start to do 1 hour in a corporate golf.
Yeah.
In a golf corporate, would nobody care about you? Oh, but you have to do 1 hour.
Wow.
Okay, you're gonna remember why you start at Mickey Benz and you do the Grand Prix. Because people don't, when they start, they don't realize that.
Yeah.
They said, the only reason why I'm here is because it's the only spot I have. No. When you're gonna be a pro, when you're gonna start to make money, you're gonna come back.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? So what is your style? What do you say today? Is it stand up, punchline, one joke, or you like to tell story?
I guess like I'm still figuring that out. Like I do like to tell stories, you know. I find I like to tell stories, try to punch them up a bit. You know, I don't have like the craziest life to draw from, but I do have a couple of zingers, you know. So I like to like mine them out and have fun with them. But for most of it, it's, you know, I like to keep it. You know, I feel like the jokes that work the best. Like I'll think of like stupid things that I like to maybe start sets with, but for the most part, the jokes that work the best are like true to my life and just being brutally honest about, you know, where I'm at and what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of it's about my marriage. Yes, because a lot of it is just anecdotes about being a bit of a freeloader.
Because when you host this kind of open mic, you want to go right away to the punch.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not easy to do a story when you know the punch is going to be in 3 minutes, like me. You know,
maybe
I don't care, you know, because I know that the goal is to just play front of a crowd or doesn't care, but pretend they care and they enjoy. So the ego can die, you know, because the goal is to kill the ego, you know.
Yeah.
So you said you try to find your, because you're new, but when did you realize, you know what, I want to do that forever? When you said, you know what, I'm born for that. You know what I mean?
Well, it's funny because I was doing music for a long time. That was like my, you know, I was heavily invested. I spent so much money and time and, you know.
What do you mean by money?
Well, just investing in equipment and investing in, you know, driving yourself out to gigs that don't pay and the whole thing, you know.
Okay, so you start musician.
Yeah,
how old are you when you start?
I was like 12. Like,
okay, so you are born to music.
Yeah,
I was. And you switch in comedy.
And I still do music here.
I know,
there,
but you know what I mean?
But right now, like, my passion, like, I'm focusing on comedy because, I think it matches my character a lot more. Like, music, in the music world, I feel like there's, like, a something where you gotta, there's this fake it till you make it kind of, like, take yourself really seriously vibe where you have to, like, portray a certain thing, brand yourself in a very kind of, especially online in the way, I couldn't connect to that anymore. You know, I'm really not good at putting my best foot forward online and making sense, sticking to some kind of brand. Like, I'm just too curious about all different kinds of things. And when I started, you know, I'd always talk a lot between songs.
Okay,
you know,
and live, you know,
You know, so
and
the band's always like,
it's too funny.
Shut up, do that on your own time, you know? And I'm like, maybe I will, So I started doing that, and it was fun. Like, I liked to be awkward and just, like, connect with the audience between songs. But then that never went with my songs, because my songs were all super, like, depressing and sad and weird.
Really?
And so, like, you know, there was a contrast between my character and, like, my music, you know? So I love to write songs. I like to write songs for, like, other people now. Like, I'd like to keep writing, but not for my own voice, you know?
Did you think about write, like, your Deep Rush music and a comedy?
I've thought about it. I feel like it's got to be, to do musical comedy, it's very touchy. Like, you got to, it can very easily turn cheesy depending on what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I haven't really flexed that muscle yet. Like, I've written a couple of, like, silly little things, you know, just for me. I put on Instagram or something, you know, but I'm not gonna bring it to the stage just yet and do that kind of thing, you know. I really admire the art form of, like, comedy as like stand up and
okay.
And
so
I was a huge fan all my life, and I threatened to do comedy for years. Like, so, you know, I was taking notes and writing down dumb jokes, and I was always, like, that guy who was, like, making dumb jokes in the group.
So you always...
Defense mechanism, you know?
You always do music, but you always love comedy.
Yeah.
But maybe at the time, you said it's not for me because so many good comic or blah, 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 or...
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't know where to start, you know, and then... you know, I had a friend who tried it. He moved away, but he was going to, like, some open mics, and I went with him to a couple open mics just to see, and, like, it seemed really brutal, and I got pretty afraid again, you know?
Say again.
It seemed really brutal. And I was just
He said, maybe not that. It's not for, okay, wow.
But then I watched a lot of, you know, there's Netflix specials, the comedians getting in cars, there's the whole, I started watching just more documentaries about comedy and everything, and I was like, I think I'd give this a shot, and like, I finally did my first time not in Montreal, but actually in San Jose.
No way.
I was there for a...
California?
Yeah. I was there for my cousin's wedding.
Okay.
And we had, some downtime, some days off, and I noticed they had a comedy club there. I was looking for open mics, and I found this place called Rooster McFeathers.
Okay.
And it was pretty cool.
Once again, why you tried to find a comedy club there?
Because, you know, doing it away from... At first I thought, it'd be great to do it away from people I know. But then in the end, I ended up bringing, like, 10 to 12 family members to watch me do it. So that was, like... That was the weird part, because I literally jumped on the show 2 days before. And it was a Wednesday night, and it's kind of their open mic. But apparently people wait, like, months to get on it. But because I was there from out of town, I was only there for 1 week, and I was definitely going to bring people. They put me up and gave me 6 minutes, you know? And so I was like... All right, so, like, the whole day before...
With 12
my,
people of the wedding?
Yeah, like, my family that I was staying with.
So you put a lot of stress?
A lot of stress,
And you it's your first time, and 6 minutes, it's nothing. But in the world of comedy,
six minutes,
it's an hour when it's your first show. And
so,
did you wrote something? Did you prepare yourself?
So I had
said, this is going to be funny, and here you go?
Yeah, I mean, because that's the thing. It's like, not like I've tried these jokes anywhere before. I tried them on my wife on the way there, you know, in the car, and she was like, okay, that one's funny, maybe forget that one, you know, and like, it's like filling things in till the last
Never
second.
Try your joke to your girlfriend.
It's the worst.
Continue, I just wanted to be sure.
So we're at this place, and you know, I'm getting a drink, and like, my family walks in, and it's a big place, it's like Comedy Nest, you know,
okay.
it's big, and there's a lot of people there. And there's a lot of comics that have been working there for a while, you know. But I think the level of comedy was all over the place. But it was actually a great show. They put me up in the middle. And
great spot.
You know, honestly, it was really exciting. I definitely didn't know what to do with myself on stage without a guitar. I was kind of walking too much and kind of like...
What do you mean you had a guitar?
Because normally every other time I've been on stage, I had a guitar. So
yeah.
Like walking too much, being too like physically active.
Behind
something, and stuff,
yeah.
You know, just kind of like
the light
a little
was,
too clowny.
The light was,
you know?
Strong, the light at the same...
It was, yeah, the light was strong, but...
And another thing, people listen to you.
Yeah.
Like when you play guitar,
yeah,
they listen to you too. But you realize, like, it's a tennis game.
Yeah,
you know.
But it's good because it was actually like a con. Like if I had gotten started at like, because you know, then I went home. I mean, there was great. It was actually I think like 60% of the shit landed, which is more than I could ask for. You know,
and so you remember your set.
I remember the set, and I basically was doing comedy about my family. You know, I figured, hey, if they're there, I'm going to bring them into it. So I did, like, jokes about, you know, about, a bit about going out there for the wedding and a bit about, like, things that happened, you know?
Oh, yeah. So it was now?
Yeah.
And the, just to be sure, because I don't remember you say that, the wedding was done or it's going to be, the wedding's going to be the Saturday because it's Wednesday, your open mic. Did you?
Oh, it was already done.
It was already done.
Yeah.
So now the stress is not there for every, you know? So you start to do joke about that.
Yeah. So I made jokes about. Yeah, and it was fun.
Did you have your suit?
No.
Because it would be very funny.
Yeah.
Like I just arrived from the wedding.
Drunk, you know, just sipping on
the
it.
Cake was amazing.
Too bad I fell in it.
Okay, yeah. So you go on stage. You have a crowd of 12 people in San Jose, California.
Oh, but that was the people I brought because the room was full of people.
Oh, so you so. When people laugh, it's not the 12, it's the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, so
no,
it's...
No, my family is
not the shitty open mic.
No.
So, you, okay.
So
wow,
my
lucky
was
you, man.
And then I went home and I was like, I gotta do this again. And I went to Grumpy's. And I went on,
Whoa. You are the Grumpy's Montreal now?
Well, yeah, when I went home.
No. Stay in San Jose, guys. The sun is there. Your first open mic show ever is in San Jose.
Yeah.
Okay. This. Beautiful. Okay. So you did. Did you did six? Did you do more? Did you did do less?
I did six.
You saw the red light.
I got the light.
Man, you're born for that.
Yeah.
So you saw the red light. So, it's all my time.
That's it. Yeah.
You're from Montreal there?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
They said it. You know, they're like your next from
okay.
Montreal.
So so when you get off on stage, what was the reaction for yourself?
I was just really proud of myself for doing it, and immediately you become addicted to it. You know, immediately like,
Oh yeah.
You know, I got to go back up. I got to change this. I got to
look at that.
Oh wow,
it's
paraphernalia.
For what did you take? A black organic
tea.
Whoa!
I took a tea.
Merci beaucoup.
Bienvenue.
Thank you so much. Look at that. We have a small cookie.
Yeah.
So you don't drink coffee, huh?
I don't drink coffee. It kind of wrecks my stomach.
Okay.
Something fierce. I used to work at Starbucks, so...
You work at Starbucks. I work at Starbucks, too.
My body built a tolerance to the...
So the
acidity.
Oh, yeah, because you drink too much coffee?
So I just, like... It literally just gives me, like, shooting pains after... I don't know.
Is it the milk?
No. It was just like black coffee.
No milk?
Oh, milk, yes.
Okay, you're going to put
the... I treat this like a coffee. This is my...
Exactly. So the coffee make you sick. Not the milk.
No.
Not like a latte. Yeah, I drink so much latte, I can't drink latte anymore.
That's why I
just drink espresso. And because I thought espresso was more strong than the filter coffee.
Mm-hmm.
About caffeine, but it's the reverse.
It's the reverse, yeah.
Filter
coffee is...
So I enjoy it, but I'm an hyperactive anyway, so no matter what I drink or not, I'm pumped, you know? And I'm very pumped because me, you know what I love when I talk about comedy? It's if I was with any superstar, I would talk about that.
Yeah.
The first show, you know? Because it's like the first pendamo, you know? When you're in love, when you know, it's so intense.
Yeah.
What is the name of, you know, when your first love and she left you? The pain?
Yeah.
You know the pain?
Yeah.
You remember for all your life, you know what I mean? Or your first love. You will remember her name forever.
Yeah.
The first time you sleep with a girl, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
The first time
you imprint on you. That's
but
just human nature.
It's in you. But we forgot that. You know, we forgot.
We're looking for it again.
Like are we gonna crush everything about the 6 minutes on stage.
Yeah.
Because the like, when did you start to stress during the comedy night? Is it when you arrive? Is it when your friend said, "Are you nervous? Are you nervous, man?"
Yeah.
Is it when you're sixth and the fifth just go on stage and all the time the guy he starts saying, "Oh my God, it's gonna be my turn. I'm next."
Yeah.
Or is it 30 seconds before you go on stage? Is it when you go on stage? You know what I mean?
I think it's when you arrive. You're stressing. Like 30 seconds when they're announcing you to the stage, that's like a different level. That's like you're buzzing so hard that like you feel like you're on coke. You feel like you're high. You know? You're
Oh
my God. Like,
oh yeah.
There's, you know, you move there and then the minute you get on stage and you grab the mic and all the people are looking at you.
Yeah.
And you say a few things. That's why it's so important to have a quick joke on.
So what was your first joke? Or what did you say when you arrived? Did you say, "I'm from Montreal, bitch"?
I think I said something about, that's true. I don't remember my first ever joke.
Okay, so you don't remember your set.
Being in Los Angeles, and maybe it was something about politics or global warming or something.
So you don't remember your set.
I do remember.
You remember you were there?
The jokes? I know some of the jokes I made about, I think there was something about living with my wife and like how you how like the best way to keep your relationship fresh is like don't fart in front of each other. Like everyone like gets into that zone where they're easy to fart in front of each other, but it's like
how much time do you wait before you fart?
It's like we still like keep it subtle, you know. It's like well, if we have to, we're not gonna build it up.
Okay.
But like I'm not chasing her around trying to get her, catch her in a Dutch oven, you know. Like it's not, you know, that's not the thing. Like, but at the same time, like when she goes to take a shower in the morning, you know, and I'm still lying in bed, I'll do like 15 minutes of just fart yoga. You know, you just like
so
you just do every pose just to get it all out.
Wow!
You know?
So you did that?
I did that. Yeah.
Did well?
Yeah, I did well.
And
people are into the fart stuff. I did jokes about the wedding. I had this stupid bit about oh, this is another fart bit, actually.
So you start with fart joke.
I did a lot.
I think
of fart
I did
jokes.
That too.
Yeah.
In French.
Yeah.
When yeah.
You started in French.
I started in French. Yeah.
That was where was your first?
My first in French. Whoa! You put me back. My first. Oh, it was at the not the college. The other one before. Je sais en secondaire. High school,
high school. Okay.
Yeah.
You've been doing it since high school. So you've been doing like
No. I did my first show there, but I
you weren't in high school. At the time.
Yeah. It was front of friends. You know, like it was in theater.
Okay.
I dance and I did a show.
Hmm.
I did a Reader's Digest show.
Wow.
You know what I mean? The Reader's Digest show was like a guy. It was four guys, like twins guy, but the four, I don't know to say what it's for when they're twins.
It's like triplets and quadruplets.
Okay.
Quintuplets?
So they
that's fine.
They have a meeting in a hotel, but inside the hotel, the electricity is done.
Okay.
So they have to, the electricity is back. Okay, so they have to, the candle,
mm-hmm.
You know? But the guy, he talked like that, you know? The other guy
so
talked like that.
This is a sketch.
A sketch,
yeah,
yes. The other guy talked like that, you know, so I did that.
Yeah.
With the candle, you know, 17 years old.
That's great.
Yeah, and it was a hit, you know. So I remember leaving the high school, saying, you know what, I would like to do that.
Yeah.
But remember, at that time, no comedy club, nothing in French.
Mm-hmm.
So I just keep that in my mind. But you asked me my first show.
Like stand-up show.
After that, it's like 17, maybe 5 years later.
Yeah.
Maybe six. I was in a band.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, three comics, and we do a like personage sketch.
Okay.
And my personage was a guy who talked like that. He was a moron, but he doesn't know he's a moron. You know what I mean? So, and I always want to do, you know, stand up. I was scared to be myself on stage.
Nice.
You know.
It's terrifying,
yeah. So I start with that, and after that, the band stopped after 1 year. We did maybe 40 shows, and another 5 years later, I decide to go back. Professional, you know, because it's the hate and love comedy, you know what I mean? You're gonna have that in your life too.
Yeah.
You're gonna, you know, because sometimes you have to pay your bills, sometimes you can't do comedy because, but it's a great epoch, a great time for you to not give up. Because me, you have to understand, I live in a Sherbrooke city and I don't live in Montreal. I moved to Montreal to do comedy, you know?
Yeah.
So I will say professionally, I start in 2007.
Okay.
From now, never stop comedy.
Okay.
I start, you know, 2007, I said, no matter what's gonna happen, I will not quit. So 2007, from now, it's like 12 years, for maybe 13 years, full time in French. And 2012, I start in English, full time. So 7 years in English.
So
my first show in English is at the Yuk Yuk Ottawa.
Okay. And what would you say are the biggest differences between French and English?
About comedy? Oh, it's the same.
It's the same.
Because it doesn't the language. I remember I bomb. yeah. Professional bomb in English my first show, but I was so happy to bomb. You know, because. The problem is, no matter if I bomb or I kill, doesn't change anything for me. The goal it was to do it, you know, to break the ice.
Yeah.
You know, no matter, nobody remembered that I bombed 3 minutes. And it's what, so after that, man, the sky was the limit, you know, I work, and build, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my first show professionally in French, I don't remember. I need to think about that. But I remember, because it's, I make my people laugh every Christmas singing song in front of the Christmas tree, you know.
Yeah.
It was not a comedy show, but I knew it, you know. I love to make people laugh, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing for you.
I got a big family and, you know,
always
getting together and being at the table and we all try to make each other laugh. And we all have like... But it's easy when it's the people you grew up with and you all have similar points of reference.
Yeah.
You know, you notice when you get on stage that everyone had a different upbringing. They all come from different ideas of what comedy is. They all come from different... So it's like, you know, you got to really make the things universal. Really, like, explain yourself well. Really explain yourself well, but cut it down to the most, to the minimum amount of time to do it. You know?
Yeah.
So it's really like a great exercise in public speaking, just in socializing, just in... You know, coming from like doing a lot, I was like a waiter and a bartender for like a long time and doing that, that really helped also build up the confidence to start doing comedy because I was essentially doing comedy behind the bar for a while. Just like,
restoration.
Making stupid jokes and telling them to clients and like, you know, sometimes they worked and sometimes they didn't. But you know, it was on the spot. You were kind of on a pedestal and you had to kind of make it work. So it was kind of an easy jump, you know, and I was used to being on stage. So,
The 12 people the night you do your first open mic ever, did help you?
That they were there?
Yeah.
Well, they helped me get on the show, but you know, I
imagine
think they were,
they're
I think
not
they
there,
were just looking like this, like terrified for me, like oh my god.
But if they're not there, what would be your reaction on stage alone?
Well, as soon as I came back to Montreal and started doing shows without them there, you know, I noticed there's a huge difference. Because then, a little later on, they all came out to another show.
So how long did you wait?
When I got back, I started right away.
Okay.
At
the Grumpy, you said that?
Yeah, I went to Grumpy's, went on last of the night, nobody gave a shit at all, bombed.
Whoa.
All the same jokes, bombed. And then I was like, all right, it's cruel and cold, but I love her.
Oh, yeah. If you understand that fast, you understand that.
Yeah.
Fast, you're going to succeed in comedy, you know?
That's it.
So how did you get the gig to host at the Mickey Ben's Pub?
I worked there for a long time.
You worked at Mickey Ben's for a long time,
and,
didn't you?
When on Monday nights, there was, some of the first shows I did was at Blue Dog, you know, with Rashta, and she put me on a couple Blue Dog shows, and they went really, they went well, it was a lot of fun. I brought a couple people out, and then she went on hiatus, I think, for a couple months there, or it was like 3-4 months. I thought it was going to be longer, but in the end, you know, they're back doing the thing. But for a little while there, around the new year, there was like a big gap. Monday night had nothing happening, and
yeah.
I told my boss, I was like, we should fill this in because, you know, we have a great stage and a sound system, and, you know, we
exactly
have, and they have, you know, a musician playing, which is great, it's fun for the people that are there, but an open mic would actively bring in people, you know. So I think he was on board with that idea of having people come in, so we worked something out, and it's been it's honestly been a lot of fun ever since. And, you know, I think I've gotten a lot out of it, and I think the bar's gotten a lot out of it, and everybody's
every
happy.
Every Monday, 52 show a year, you host.
Yeah.
Wow.
It. So it's so far. So
and
far
you host 10:30, so 3 hour. You present like what, 12 to 15 comic.
Usually it's like up to 17 comics, and then we have like maybe 5 or 6 different like music acts that like come out and play, and sometimes they play multiple times. And then at the end of the night, usually there's like been a really cool crowd of music regulars that'll stick around and just kind of rotate at the end of the night, just go on and keep playing, you know?
Yeah.
But musicians, they don't need it like comedians do. They it's fun practice, it's fun to perform on a stage for their friends.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, practicing in your bedroom is just as good. You know?
Yeah, it's not
but
comedy.
Comedy without the other people, you're not practicing.
No.
You know?
No, exactly.
There's no point without being able to get through the joke, even though the first two punches didn't work, and like still have confidence in the third one. You know? It's
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. But hey, I got something.
What do you
before
mean?
Before you finish your coffee.
Oh, before I finish my coffee?
I brought us a little.
Oh my god, what's happened?
I brought us a little something, something.
No way.
So it was my my wife's birthday party.
Okay.
On Saturday.
You bring me a gift?
And she didn't want any of her gifts, so I brought them to you. No.
That's it. That's this. Whoa. No. Oh, okay. Napkins. Balloon napkins. Whoa.
There was so much birthday cake left over. I have this enormous cake. Too bad I couldn't bring the it's a picture, right? Too
okay.
bad I couldn't bring the part with her face on it because someone ate her face.
Wow. What is inside? Like the big is jelly bean?
There's like fruits and
wow.
raspberries and blackberries, and it's delicious. And it's a wonderful cake full of, covered in fondant, which is just cocaine for the soul. It's beautiful.
Let's put that, make people pissed off about like,
Yeah. I brought some forks, but I figure they have stuff here.
Oh, my, my small spoon.
You got your small spoon. You're not getting any fondant.
Oh, what is that?
You're not getting any fondant. You're getting all cream. You're not balancing the...
Hey, man. Focus, buddy.
Here, check this out.
Okay.
Two seconds. Look at this. That's the joy of being...
Welcome to the kitchen comedy. Today, we're going to eat a cake with Ben Kardashian.
For us to talk with our mouths full, you know?
Yeah, yeah. People are going to be very jealous. It's a ASMR... comedy. You know ASMR?
No.
ASMR. It's like people who eat on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
And people love to listen to.
They watch and they.
I did one with the poutine.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
You get a lot of comments. It's like
yeah,
slow
yeah.
down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Slow down.
Best video ever.
Suckle that cheese.
What was it? Sorry, guys.
Dig in. Just dig in. Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
Fuck the plates.
Wow. Who made this?
We bought it from, because we had to go order it because we needed to get them to print a picture on it. There was a big picture, you know, so we ate my wife.
You ate what, your wife? That's a picture of your wife? No way. Naked?
You know it. No. It was like cutting up the cake and passing it out like, who wants the arm? Who wants her leg?
Delicious, my buddy.
Oh yeah, it's a good one.
The wife, the cake, it was for your wife?
Yeah, it was
birthday?
Her 30th birthday. We had a surprise party for her, so.
What is her name?
Valentina.
Whoa!
I know.
Valentina.
I ordered her.
Thank you so much for your beautiful cake. No BS with SB. Man, it's very good. Because you know what? My favorite cake is vanilla. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, me too. This is right up my alley.
Yeah, I don't know if I love the fruits inside, but
no.
I love this.
Too healthy. It's just too skip the bullshit.
So, what is your plan in comedy? What is your goal? What do you want to achieve in the short term, medium term, and the long term, you know?
I think one thing I really like about comedy is like, or just like any like performing arts, is like the producing aspect of it, the putting things together, making a great night, you know? I think I'm going to try to book some more and produce some more nights and like really put more focus into the nights I'm already producing.
This is the short term.
This is short term, but like with comedy itself, like I really want to get to that level where, you know, I like working on my material, I like working on the, but I really want to get to that level where I can kind of bring like my kind of relaxed naturalness of being onto the stage, you know, and be able to kind of make, not jokes on the spot, but just like have that translate so I can really just feel like I'm with a bunch of friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, like people that can really just like be silly up there and be entertaining without even sometimes having anything prepared, you know? I really
want
to be
but
able to.
But do you want a 15-minute killer in the next year? Do you want to be part of the Zoo Fest next summer? You want to do it just for laugh in 5 years? You know what I mean? Because
course,
you need
like,
gold.
Yeah.
To force yourself because you're an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a lazy guy.
Yeah.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, that's it. Like, yeah, when you're your own boss in anything.
You yeah, you need challenge.
But I definitely want to, yeah, I mean, I'd love to partake in a bunch of festivals. I know that a lot of people have worked really hard to get on those festivals and it's taken them time.
Yeah,
and,
but you want to do that full time?
Right now, I'm just like, I feel like I'm just focusing on getting as comfortable as possible so that I can, you know, I need that to be confident to ask for things.
But you're on the good track because trust me, host 50 show a year where, and by the way, is everywhere. You're at Grumpy's, the small open mic, like you said, the Blue Dog on Saint-Laurent every Monday, you know, so you work, Sunday at the McLean Pub.
Yeah.
So you have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at the Grenouille with Sid.
Yeah.
And Thursday, I think Thursday we missed something. I think you said you want to do another night?
I did. I hosted twice this show out in Duffy's in Dorval, and like that's a rough.
I know. I went to there.
Yeah.
I went there. You said go there. I went there. The guy said no. It's Boston.
They follow Boston.
I said you have to wait.
Off the bat.
I said no. I will not wait after a game.
Mm-hmm.
When nobody's there anyway, and it's far, you know. The downtown thing, we need a Thursday night open mic.
Well, Duffy's the first time I went, first two times I went, there was a magicness about it.
Yeah, but it's with the guitar.
There was a lot of guys playing music, but then I went up and did comedy. Me and two other friends, it was me, Bashar, Akeem. We went in, started doing comedy there, and the crowd was very receptive to it.
Okay.
Off the bat.
Lucky you.
So the first two times it was like that,
yeah,
great little crowd, they were really listening. They were actually listening more to the comedy than to the music. For them, they were used to having background music, and then when someone started talking, they were like, what the fuck? Like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
You know? But, so it was interesting. It was actually a really great experience, but then it like kind of tapered off. I think, you know, every room has its like magic moments, you know?
Yeah.
And then sometimes they're few and far between.
Exactly. Oh no! It's why comedy is amazing.
Yeah.
It's impossible to take for granted your joke, the timing, because this is why I love comedy. Some people love to be at the same office, the same routine, the same music, the same neons, the bus always. You know me. I love to go somewhere. I don't know where the stage is, how the mic works. If the people pay or they are able to listen, the light isn't too strong, you know?
You gotta get used to focusing on certain things. And sometimes it's the opposite. In a really big room, you know, I realized that I had this problem. I was really lucky enough to play like some really big crowds. And
where?
With Tinder Tales was really great.
Okay.
Tinder Tales ended up giving me my first like really big audiences, you know? And, you know, when you do the Nest or when you do something,
yeah,
it's always full, you know? But But I noticed that something that is tough to get over. So when you're in a small place, you got to get into the headspace of really dialing in and focusing in on the few people that are paying attention and really making it about them, right? And tuning out everybody else that doesn't give a shit or that's talking over you or that seems to not be interested or
yeah.
judgmental.
Yeah.
Just really focusing on the people that are being entertained, you know? And then in a big space, when you can still be thrown off by two people in the front row who are like deadpan and clearly hate you,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So everything you do, even though other people are entertained and are having a good time,
yeah.
you're still trying to get them into
exactly.
it, you know?
Oh,
and
exactly.
if you focus on that, you can kill yourself.
Oh, you're
you
so right. You're so right.
Ruin your
Oh, you're universe. So right. Yeah. This is a great point you just said because, and this is the ego, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Because me too, when I start my career, I always try to find the people who don't laugh
yeah.
and try, you know, and I should focus on people who laugh.
Yeah.
But because now I do so many open mic, now I focus on good people, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have time to, you know, if they don't, and sometimes, you know what, it's funny? The people, you said, this guy, he never laughed, he hate me.
Yes.
And he's
who,
the first, he's the
here?
First one after the show who
yeah.
come to say to me, hey, it was very funny.
Yeah.
I said, where was your face, you know?
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, so...
That guy's a serial killer. Man.
Exactly, who laugh inside, you know? So, exactly, put the focus on the good place. So,
speaking of serial killers, you ruined a movie for me.
I ruined a movie for
yeah.
you? What do you mean?
I went to see... I went to see the new Child's Play movie.
Okay.
You know, with Chucky.
Chucky.
And it used to be that it was all about this toy called the Good Guy doll.
Okay.
But now the toy's called the Buddy.
No.
And the whole time, he's like, I want to be your Buddy.
Wow, and you think about me?
I was thinking about you popping out of the closet like, Buddy!
Yesterday, I went to the restaurant with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And we walk on St. Catherine, and a guy at the other street yelled, Buddy! I said, wow. My girlfriend, you know, as I said, I would love to impress my girlfriend. I would do that, you know, but it was
yeah.
It was amazing, man. It was amazing. So, what do you? Why do you try to find in comedy? You know, I know it's the adrenaline, it's fun, but what do you want? You want to impress your father, your mother?
No.
You know what I mean? You know why you need so much attention?
To do that.
You know what I mean? Why you need so much attention?
You know, I think when I stopped working at it's funny because when I started doing comedy was also when I stopped working in hospitality. Like I took a break from working at a bar. I was working in an office for a little bit. And it was fun. It was a very different thing, but I felt myself socially dipping, you know, where I couldn't like hold a conversation or think as fast. I spent 8 hours a day in front of a computer, like I was just soaking things in but not
yeah.
talking. And like I figured that's when I went on this vacation and I figured like, oh, you know what, I need something to keep myself a little bit more sharp, you know, because I felt like I was becoming a bad conversationalist. You know,
okay.
I felt like I wasn't
okay.
able to express myself. It's like you lose it. You know, like when you're in university and then you get out of that habit of like reading and constantly digesting things and thinking about things, and like you kind of, you know, these are not skills that just like are applied all your life, you know? And I feel like if you kind of really like work in a place where you're isolated, you become kind of a shut-in, you know? I was feeling kind of like a shut-in, and so like I started going out and doing comedy every night and, kind of and joining this new community and meeting people and being like, and it really helped me with the fact that I was spending like so many hours a day like
yeah.
in an office, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So and now I work in a restaurant again, so it's like I'm not like that anymore. But you know, I obviously still have comedy to you know to help. So it's kind of like it's weird the things you gravitate toward in your life based on you know what your weird kind of personal needs are.
Yeah.
You know, and I need to. Be face to face with people, you know.
You need. You think you have something to sell?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Like I think all my life talking, you know, just in every group I've been in, I've been like a little bit different. I clearly like feel like I see things in a bit of a different way, You know, I focus in on maybe like the dumb details of shit, but I feel like that's maybe what draw me toward comedy. It's like a whole community of people that do that. And that's another difference. It's like, you know, I was talking about how in music, everybody takes themselves so seriously and everybody's like, needs to really like pump up the ego.
Yeah.
And I love how comedy's about destroying it. I love how it's just people are so self-deprecating. People know where they stand. People are so like on the level and just able to make fun of themselves, can take a joke. Like everybody's, you know, that I've met so far has been, it's just, I feel like it's just like, there's a bunch of musicians that I know and love that are like really good friends that are really, you know, also not egotistical, but I feel like with comedy, it's kind of more my people. You know?
Yeah, because you did The Voice in French.
Yeah.
So it's a big opportunity to...
That also kind of almost killed my... Because then I did that and then I started working at a record label. And I got to see like the kind of behind the scenes of music and how it's really just about going around the internet trying to pinch pennies all over the place and like and how just dead the industry is, you know? And then there's you know, and then when I was doing The Voice, it was, you know, all the things you have to do to try to like all the things you gotta fake about yourself. You know, no one's gonna accept you how you are. You have to be this better version of you know, in comedy, it's like it's all about being more who you are than you think.
You're your own boss.
Yeah.
And when you bomb, you know you bomb. And when you kill, you know you kill.
Yeah. So this and is you know they like who you are.
Exactly.
They like who you are.
Exactly.
You know?
And you don't need, like I said, to fake who you are.
No.
Because it,
the more true to yourself you're being in comedy, the better you're going to do.
This is great. Repeat that because this is one of the key to succeed in comedy. It's a long process, a lot, but this is very important. Can you repeat it?
Yeah. The more true to yourself.
Yes.
You're gonna be.
Yes.
The better you're gonna do. And
exactly. Maybe not like how he said, because it sounds like a creepy clown.
The more.
but you're right, because I start with a personage, because I was too afraid to be myself, you know?
Yeah.
And so I know what he said, you know? And I said, how to be myself on stage? Because when you bomb in a personage, it's a personage, you know?
Mm.
It's me. But me, I'm gonna pretend it's a personage, you know.
Mm.
But so you know when I realize I should stop when the crowd start to echoing me when I'm in personage, it's not easy to go there.
Yeah.
I'm a moron, you know.
Yeah.
So and struggle, it's the part of the success in comedy. So when is the last time you have the chance to touch a little bit of the pleasure of comedy? Because normally, I would say I have, of 10 show, no matter how kind of show, I'm gonna have fun like 2 of 10. And it's not because I did not did well.
Yeah.
I did well, but I was not happy because the crowd was, I did a campaign.
Yeah.
It was a great crowd, people laugh a lot, I kill, but always talking, it was not a symbiosis together, like I'm on the wave surfing, everything, you know, was the wave always stop every time I finish a joke. So I have to always build, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So do you remember your best show ever in your career? Like you remember, you say, okay, I know it's tough, I know I bomb all night, but I know I can be funny because you're new.
Mm-hmm.
You always do open mic. So when did you? I'm sure you have a show. You said, "Oh, okay, I'm funny because I'm."
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had
Have the great. Oh, hey, like here, did you play here?
Yeah,
Peroni.
Twice. Yeah, twice.
Because we are at the Peroni every weekend with Ali. They have a great comedy night here.
Yeah, that was fun. And that was probably one of them. The first time I did Peroni went really well. I was really happy with. You know, the crowd was on board, everything went really well, and it was packed, you know, it was beautiful. First time I did Peroni was definitely one of those, like, high-five moments. It was like, all right, you know, we could do this. You know, had a bit of a high off that, you know. Some of those Tindertail shows that I was telling you about have been, you know, I wrote a story for them. It was kind of a, most of it's true. It's just like three different stories I took and I put them together, you know, to make them... really like punch throughout, you know, and I've been honing it because I've done a bunch of them so far, and usually it's like a great opportunity to go out of town and do a story, and they were, and and yeah, I've had some amazing crowds, you know, and giant, like 160 people.
Whoa, crowds. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great, great shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was, that's been really fun, you know.
But do you remember when they said this show killed?
Had really fun. Had been having a lot of fun with the ethnic shows.
Okay, yes.
The ethnic shows are
Bootlegger on Saint Laurent.
Fantastic.
I'm going tonight there.
Yeah. Always really really good time.
Great crowd. You're right.
Great crowd. You know. Yeah, and they're all different crowds. They all have like their. I can tell that like you know you start to know the room. You start to hone your set for the what you think the room is about. You know.
Yeah.
And. And you know, sometimes I think like my biggest weakness is just is patience, I think. Because like, you know, I always want to
You want to run fast.
Yeah.
But
like I've taken some risky approaches to shows that should have been really big, like, you know, big audiences, and I'm gonna try like new bits off the top. It's like, you know, sometimes you just wanna keep it interesting for yourself, you know? And you don't want to do like the same stuff that you've been working on, so you kind of try some things. So I've had some like setbacks and kind of like been put in my place about, you know, stick to like the killers sometimes when you know it's like a high stress situation, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's what that's like my goal, to work toward being able to take anything off the street and make it funny, you know, like I really felt like I made a turning point when, you know, a couple times, a couple weeks in a row, I was going to Grumpy's and I was just really in a good place and I was just having fun outside talking about things, and I'd come up with something in the bathroom, I'd try it on stage and it works, you know?
Exactly.
And you're just like, this is the best, the most beautiful organic feeling ever.
Exactly.
When you literally just thought about it in joke form, you know?
Believe in yourself, believe, because if you do comedy for people, you will, you know, you have to start with you.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. I'm going to try this, you know?
That's it.
But it's because comedy, it's still an art form of, you can read a lot of book, you can watch a lot of documentary, but you will know only when you go on stage how it's comedy, no matter what, because you can have the best joke ever.
Yeah.
Go on stage and bomb.
Yeah.
And pretend it's the joke when it's not.
Like
it's you. It's you because
you're 99% of the time.
Because the rhythm was not there. You did not assume. Maybe you did not take a pause there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Comedy, it's an art form, takes time. So never throw a joke in the garbage because you bomb one night. It takes time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have so many jokes I struggle, put on the back, came back, and bam, on stage, find a punch. Because I was like, oh my God, what I'm gonna do, and poof.
Yeah.
Believe, listen what I am. It's you.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And it's the fun part too, man.
You have to look
when
like
people
you're
laugh about
it.
Your joke, your story, wow, what a good feeling.
Yeah.
You know, you're it's why I invite you here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're new.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
I'm still riding
that ride.
You're new, but you have enough experience to have the discussion together. You know why? Because all night long you bomb. You know?
Yeah.
And you have the good attitude.
Yeah.
You know? It's true.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not sarcastic. You know?
Yeah,
I don't know if you understand. Because bombing for people, it's people who bomb.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay. For us,
like
bombing is just like,
point.
Yeah, the joke was not good, but this one at the end you did well.
Yeah.
And we, you know?
You pulled it back together.
When
like,
you understand the concept of comedy, bombing, it's a great term. It's, you know?
It's funny because it's people, comedy is essentially people that speak publicly as if they have like the most depressing disposition about life. But to do it, you have to have the most sunny disposition about life. You have to be like, you have to find the silver lining in every horrible, horrible piece of dog shit has to have that silver lining. You know, you have to be like, well, you know, they kind of chuckled when I said this, so maybe I can adapt that part. And it's like, but at the same time, like what you're talking about is always just so depressing. So it's like, you know.
We are special.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do that.
You gotta be bipolar a little bit. You know?
Yes, and a good bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, because we still open of criticism, and we can watch ourselves in the mirror. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because trust me, you have enough tool to understand when you bomb. Me, when I start, when I bomb, I go home, and my next show is in 2 weeks. So I have that in my head for 2 weeks. Yeah. You bomb, you go to do another night. Show, yeah. It's done.
The next night, you know what I mean? The same night, I'll be like, you know.
Exactly.
I'll go home and tell my wife, she'll be like, how'd it go? It's like, well, the first one wasn't very good. The second one worked, you know. Like,
yeah.
I fixed my joke the hour between show one and two, show two.
And you finish by stopping, think about what people think about you bomb. And you just focus on, okay, this joke did not work. So you walk to the other show. And you change it during the walk. You go and say, boom, it's a hit. All right. This joke was not good. So you walk to the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at the end, said, my God, I have a good 6 minutes. So, you know?
Yeah.
And this is why I love comedy. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm always at your place and everywhere in Montreal. Because it's easy to say, go to New York, go to LA. But if you're able to play 10 times a week in your own city, man. It's gone, you know?
What's the point of not?
So what I should wish you in your career? What I should wish you in your career? Like, you have one wish. What do you want? You want to do a Just for Laughs? You want to do a one-man show? You want to do a Tonight Show like Jess Solomon? Did you see Jess Solomon?
Yeah, that's great.
You should be proud, man.
That's amazing, yeah.
Like Jess Solomon, she was an attorney. Yeah. Attorney.
Yeah.
A lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
She stopped. And she restarted at zero, doing comedy, moved to New York, and she did it. If you missed that, go see that. Very bravo. Let's clap for Jess. It's an amazing feeling.
Moment.
You know what I mean? So is it something you would love to do that?
I'd love to do that. I honestly have this thing where ever since I was in music, I kind of like cut my expectations down to like what's in front of me at the moment. You know, so like. I really just want to be able to keep doing it for as long as possible, and you know, there's other things in my life that I also like want to happen. You know, like I want the family and the everything. So like I want to do that, but like one of my main drivers when it comes to performance is like when I was like some of the best times I ever had were being on tour with my band. You know.
Yeah.
And I love the road trip. I love driving. Like I'd love to be on the road doing this.
You go to you're gonna start a road trip, by the way. You told me.
Toronto,
Ottawa. Yeah.
In August, I'm going out to Muskoka to perform, and me and Amber Rez.
Oh yes.
Going out.
All right.
Rez. It's gonna be great. We're trying to book a couple shows around there to make it a bit of a road trip. You know, when we start to smell each other, then we start to really bond. You know, that's how it works.
Okay, but listen, just want to remember, but it's very important because. If in 5 years we're gonna rewatch this together, I wanna look at you and say, oh yeah, well yeah. So give me a dream, don't be shy.
Okay.
You wanna do it just for
5 years?
You wanna do, I think 5 years is great. Just for Laugh, be part of Just for Laugh, a one man show at the Place des Arts.
Look, I'd love to. I don't know if 5 years is enough for the one man show at Place des Arts, but I'd definitely love to be part of the Just for Laughs festival in 5 years. Definitely.
Yes.
I'd definitely like to
I think 5 years. Did you make the audition this year?
I did. I think I sent in a tape. It was a very early.
Okay, but you did not the audition. It was at the Grenouille and at the Comedy. Yes, you did not.
No.
Okay. So maybe next year could. Could be a goal.
Maybe if
audition just for
that. Type tape together and try to send it in.
Exactly.
I know that it's also about you know paying your dues, and a lot of the people that end up on those shows have been around the scene for a long time. So you know, I know there's like there's a lot of amazing talented comics in the scene, and there's a chopping block. There's like a stepping stones you gotta take.
But I like the way you think because
I love the process.
You're not like I want to do this. You're like I want to take my time and this is good too.
Yeah, I want to be ready when I get there.
Yeah,
I don't want that night to performing for Just for Laughs. I don't want that to be the most stressful night of my life because like I really just like sunk my teeth in it and like fish to get it. Like I want to get there because it's like
it's your turn.
Yeah,
you're ready.
Exactly.
You know? This is the last question. Is the tough question. In the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want no bullshit.
Is it a math question?
No. Are you ready? Do you think the Expo are back? You have to be honest, no matter what.
Do we think that we're getting in a
new stadium and the Expo are back?
Is this another shit ton of debt we wanna...
I don't care about that. About you. Are you a fan of baseball? Do you think we deserve the Expo?
I mean,
think, you're gonna, if the baseball is there, you're gonna go see the baseball game with hot dog with beer?
I mean, yeah, I'd get into it.
Yeah,
it
you're a fan
it
of baseball.
Like more of a fun. It's like all we have here is winter sports. You know,
exactly.
It'd be nice to have a summer sport.
Exactly.
It'd be nice to be doing something in the off season.
How old are you?
Hockey. I'm 31.
So you saw the Expo.
I saw the Expos, but I went to see them a couple times. Like,
so,
live, you know.
With your father or friends?
Yeah, exactly.
So, do you remember, you have a good souvenir about that?
Look, it's like you said, you know, at that age, I wasn't even into sports at all. And so, when I'd go to these things, it was more about the hot dogs. Yeah, it was really
into and you pee.
Yeah.
And you pee.
Hey,
the mascot.
If there's a new stadium selling nachos, I'll probably go try them.
Exactly, man. Thank you so much, man. And I'm so grateful you came here to talk about your life. You're a great guy. You're a great human being.
Thanks, man.
And you know
you
what?
Too.
If you continue to focus on what you do, trust me, this guy is going to be a superstar. Okay?
Look at this. You heard it here first, folks.
Yes.
You
let's go. Let's go eat. You want nacho? You said that.
Nacho.
Let's go. Take your t-shirt, your own.
Yeah. I'll let them clean up this cake.
Hey, yeah, the cake was amazing, man.